Hello, this is the AFD Tech Talk podcast. We're a circle of friends who meet up often to chat about science and tech in Ghana and beyond. I know you're digging this, so subscribe to us on your podcast app. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at AFD Tech Talk and give us your feedback. Thank you.
You know, one thing that has been like running on my mind lately, I greatly feel this whole cryptocurrency thing is just like an elaborate like ploy towards a unified currency, and it's going to be instrumental in ushering in the end times.
Yeah, I also think so too. You know, if you look at the origins and the basis and where it's all going, it's looking like a very unified global currency, which is decentralized.
Do you think we've been watching too much Pastor Chris?
Nah, I think it's the 5G vaccine that I took that.
Oh, okay. But I have a feeling like Christians also have to.
Yeah, they have to come up with their own, something to spend.
What's it going to be called?
My guess is cryptocurrency. Anyway,
just like Eduji would have put it, he's a crypto.
How does he think of those things?
Man? I don't know. Like, I don't know, man. He's just.
Whenever I
he's
see those things, I'm like, this guy is a genius. Like,
messed up genius.
Anyway, good afternoon, guys, and welcome to another episode of the AFD Tech Talk podcast. Today, we will be talking about cryptocurrency, and I am here with Selam Donyo as usual.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I mean, cryptocurrency is not new. You guys have read about it, have watched so many videos about it, seen so many memes and so on and so forth. So today we'll basically just try and have a conversation about it without any technical terms. That's one.
The technical terms
are just going to be in the explainer where you mention it and then you also explain what it means.
Yeah, right? I think we would probably have to just like digest and regurgitate for.
Yes, because we don't want to basically just state what's everywhere that people might have read before. We are going to talk about blockchain, crypto. We are going to talk about the site to, you know, crypto, which is trading and then mining. We can talk about some of the benefits, some of the downsides, and some of the popular cryptocurrencies that we have available. And then also, just in case you are feeling experimental or you were lost as to where to start from or how to, you know, venture into this world of crypto that everybody's talking about, we will give you some options and guide you on how to, you know, do it. Before I continue, nothing we are saying here is financial advice. We are a bunch of friends just having a conversation about cryptocurrencies. We are not experts. We are not experts in the matter. We are just having a conversation about what we think of it, what our opinions of it are, and some of the things that we have learned. So please take this as information and not advice.
Exactly. You are responsible for your own financial demise.
Yes. But if you blow to her, Charlie,
make you feel some.
Oh, I forgot. I think we also have to include Elon in this discussion. We will not be able to talk about, you know, cryptos without talking
without
about
mentioning
Elon,
him,
especially
yes.
because of war.
I think we need to do an entire episode on Elon. And
yeah, we are.
We need to invite Eduji.
Eduji to come to the studio.
To come to the studio and then yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive straight in. So what's blockchain? Please explain like I'm five, because I haven't had time to watch those videos and I haven't read the white papers.
Yeah, so blockchain technology is basically a system of ledgers. When I say ledgers, what do I mean? Simply put, you see when you're saving money with a bank and you ask, like you request to make a transaction like Kwamna and I normally do, like let's say to transfer money from my account to his account, the bank has the supreme authority to carry out and enact that transaction, and it is logged on the system or on the network that an amount of X was transferred from Selam Donyo to Kwame Arthur. Now here's the case. I remember I used the word supreme over here, meaning that the bank remains the sole authoritator of the said transaction. Now the blockchain technology attempts to negate that factor and create a decentralized system of ledgers where people can individually send and receive money and also register these transactions in the ledgers. Now, this technology was no doubt, everyone by now knows who brought or came up with this an idea, the innovator of blockchain technology, which is Satoshi Nakamoto. I would have loved to say he's a Japanese man, but I don't have any idea of whether Satoshi is a man or even a woman or even an alien.
Or non-binary.
Or even non-binary or even a group of people. He might not be even Japanese after all. It could just be a moniker. Yeah. So Satoshi Nakamoto came up with the idea for this to take out that factor. That's the central factor of having a bank, like being the sole, as I said, authority of these transactions and putting the power into the hands of people. Now, he described this in a paper which was released in 2009. Make no mistake, prior to 2009, virtual currencies had been discussed by various people, dating as far back as 1983, when a cryptographer called David Chaum developed a cryptographic system called eCash. 12 years later, he came up with another system called DigiCash. And then this was just using cryptography to verify economic transactions and make them confidential as well. So the idea of a cryptocurrency was first described by a man called Wei Dai in 1998. Well, I was thinking of coming up with entire payment transactions built on a cryptographic system, and which main character was the decentralization. Now, it was not until almost 10 years later, more than 10 years later actually, that we saw this idea finally come to life through the paper by the man or woman or entity or being known as Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of the first cryptography.
Yes, to crypto.
Yeah, the god of crypto. Anyway, so has that answered your question, Kwame?
It has given me a lot of information. At least I've understood how it started, where it is now, and then possibly where it's going. And I'm sure by the end of the podcast we'll
have a few answers.
Together.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, how do you get access to this cryptocurrency? Or even before we talk about that, maybe we can just like list a few popular cryptocurrencies available in circulation. I know, okay. Bitcoin, like everybody knows Bitcoin.
Everybody knows Bitcoin because Bitcoin is like the first ever, like the genesis. It was like the Eden of cryptocurrencies. Now, there's several other cryptocurrencies in circulation which people know about. There's Ethereum, Ethereum 2, and these are the 10 top popular ones as at now.
Based on market cap?
On market cap, okay. Yes, exactly. So there's Ethereum, there's Binance Coin, there's Tether, Cardano, Polkadot, Ripple Coin, Uniswap, Litecoin, and then Tether. So, yes, these are the 10 most like popular cryptocurrencies available right now. And then there are, guess what, there's over 5,000 cryptocurrencies in circulation.
Now, basically anybody at all can just get up and...
Yeah, basically anyone, the technology is accessible to all. You just need a computer or a rig powerful enough to mine the cryptocurrency, and that's it. You can come up with your own like cryptocurrency or virtual currency. A lot of companies, a lot of organizations have started up coming up with their own coin, and even some companies, two of which we already know, Kodak has come up with their Kodak coin, and Facebook has Libra, which we talked about in AFD Tech Talk.
I think season 1, episode 13.
Yeah. Season 1, episode 13, yes, exactly. So there's a lot of cryptocurrencies out there, and as expected, most of them are worth like nothing. But the thing right now is that you find people trying to find, you find people looking for diamonds in this trash, as we put it. And there's been a few cryptocurrencies which have shot up to fame because a group of people got together, made some noise about it, and caused that cryptocurrency to gain traction. Very typical example is Dogecoin, which has become a craze as at now, which we will discuss very soon.
All right, so now the question is, how do you get access to crypto, or how do you actually have crypto? And the answer to this is in two parts, right? So there's the first part, or the primary part, which is mining, right?
Okay.
So the mining is basically creating cryptocurrency into existence. And according to Investopedia, miners of cryptocurrencies are basically paid for their work as auditors. So they have to verify the legitimacy of cryptocurrency transactions. And this convention is actually meant to keep the chain, you know, honest and trustworthy.
And this is basically because, as we mentioned earlier on, that the blockchain system is decentralized.
Yeah.
There's no central authority.
Exactly.
So there's that potential for a lot of dishonest transactions to occur.
Yeah. And I think one of the deadliest scenarios is called the double spending, right? Where, you know...
Okay, so what's that about?
Hey, minimo.
Uni. Let me help you out. So I think the double spending problem is, if I had a 10 CD note and then you and I went to buy Wachi right now, we've given the Wachi seller 10 CDs in exchange for Wachi, and we've eaten it. Now, if it's a virtual currency, because it is virtual, there's a possibility to give the Wachi seller 10 CDs and still have our 10 CDs and use it for something else.
Yeah.
So that's a double spending problem.
Double spending, right. Yeah, so in order to solve this problem, and then to also make sure that the chain is staying trustworthy and honest, miners have to do two things, right? The first one is that they have to verify 1 megabyte worth of transactions. And then they have to be the first miner to arrive at the right answer, or the closest answer to a numerical problem called the proof of work.
Okay.
So the thing is that even after doing the verification, you may still not get Bitcoin for it, because you may have verified it, but you were not the first to, you know, get the answer to the proof of work question.
Oh, okay. So the reward only belongs to first person.
Yes, it belongs to only the...
So first come, first serve.
Yes, exactly. All right. So the thing about the answer to the numeric question for the proof of work is that the math is not advanced or very complex, right? But it involves a lot of work. And it's basically guesswork.
How is it not? Okay, well, yeah. That's a bit confusing for me. How is it not complex yet involving a lot of work?
So what the miners are actually trying to do in the proof of work is that they are trying to be the first miner to come up with a 64-digit hexadecimal number, which is called a hash. And that hash has to be equal to or less than the target hash.
The target hash, okay.
So think about it. You are coming up with a 64-digit hexadecimal number. This means that the possible guesses for each and every one of these problems is in the order of trillions.
Okay.
Yes.
Because the possible number of complications...
The permutations and combinations are insane.
Are insane. Which means the possible number of digits for numbers... The possible number of numbers for each digit in a hash is 16.
Yes.
Since it's a hexadecimal.
Yes.
Okay.
So this means that you're actually going to need a lot of processing power, a lot of, you know, like you have to build a custom rig, or have like crazy GPU and CPUs and RAMs and everything firing up in order to be able to come up with this number. And so that's where the environmental concerns comes in, because, you know, these machines have to be turned on for a long time, running, you know, day and night, you know, days on end, making sure that they are able to guess this particular number rightly, and then they get access to the cryptocurrency. Now, this side is very complex, even for me myself, so I don't really, you know, I don't mind Bitcoin, because my laptop can only watch Netflix.
Okay, so I think this is a very important point, because recently Elon Musk tweeted on 13th May, to be clear, I strongly believe in crypto, but it can't drive a massive increase in fossil fuel use. I think the whole concept about this is that, as you said, because it requires a lot of mining power, especially electricity and computational power, but electricity more of, it incentivizes the use of renewable energy. That is one aspect to it. Now, I think we'll talk later on how much influence Elon Musk is exerting on the value of cryptocurrencies these days. But anyway, on to what you were saying about the hash.
Yes.
Hash to what we're saying.
Yes, so that's the mining side of it. So to conclude, miners have to, you know, audit cryptocurrency transactions and then be the first to successfully guess what the numeric value of a problem is, and then they'll be given access to cryptocurrency. So they don't have to actually like pay money for it or exchange money for it. So that's the first side, mining. Now the trading side is where you can actually exchange your fiat money, which is like your actual money, for cryptos.
Okay.
So maybe the value of, say, Bitcoin is, well, $46,000 for one Bitcoin. So you don't have time to go and mine. You don't even know how mining and all of that works. So you just go to a cryptocurrency exchange and say, take my $46,000 and then give me one, you know, Bitcoin, and it is sent to you. So those are the two angles, or like the two sides to cryptocurrency.
And the latter can be done on a cryptocurrency exchange.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think for the purposes of this conversation, we can talk about some of the applications that you'd be able to use to make some of these transactions very, very simple. And the first that comes to mind is Binance.
Oh yeah, Binance.
Yes. Do you want to talk about your experience with Binance?
Okay, so I use Binance currently. Binance is an all-in-one app for the hardcore crypto trader. So I think before I go ahead and talk about the cryptocurrency exchanges, let me just briefly touch on ways by which you earn through cryptocurrencies, because that's the whole point of trading. That's the whole point of having cryptocurrencies. So the easiest and simplest method for the layman is just buying, holding, or selling. And this is like quite straightforward. The price of Bitcoin today is, let's say, for example, 1,000 cedis. If I buy it at 1,000 cedis, one Bitcoin at 1,000 cedis, and tomorrow I hear that the price is at 2,000 cedis, I buy, hold, and sell. And then within that time period, I've gained a profit of 1,000 cedis, because I bought it at 1,000 cedis and sold it for 2,000 cedis. This is one of the reasons why cryptocurrencies are pretty much in vogue these days, because they are very volatile. Price spikes, swings, it just swings up and down. As I seemingly established early on, even just based on a tweet from someone like Elon Musk, you see prices rise and fall. And so that's the easiest way to earn. You buy, you hold, you sell. Now, the other way to earn is when you trade. Now, the trading part of it, I'm not an expert on Forex trading, but the trading part of it is where you have one cryptocurrency. You can trade it against the other, or you can trade it against an actual currency. So if you look in an app like Binance, there are a lot of like trading pairs which can be used. You can trade it against the pound, the US dollar, and all that. As I established earlier, I'm not an expert on Forex trading, so I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I'm pretty sure in the weeks to come we're going to have someone on the show who's going to properly explain and enlighten you and I, and also especially our listeners, on how trading works in general and how crypto trading also works. So you can earn from buying, selling, buying, holding, and selling. You can earn from trading. Now apps like Binance even have other investment options, similar to how your bank will have treasury bills and fixed deposits and then mutual funds. There are options like that available on Binance, where you can do spot trading, margin trading. You can invest your crypto for a certain period of time and gain a certain amount of a certain amount of percentage or profit of your investment within that period. So Binance has so many options. Now, for me, trust me, it's overwhelming. So in the left side of the Binance app, I've just flipped it to Binance Lite, and I'm using the Lite version, which, as I said, I just want to be able to buy, hold, and sell, and then straightforward for me. So,
and I think like you also mentioned about the volatility. So it's very important to know your risk appetite and your risk level.
Yes, I don't think cryptocurrency should be for people who have low risk.
Before you put money in, because like you're saying, it's basically like a bet, like a future bet of sorts, where you are saying, okay, Bitcoin was maybe $1,000 last year, and then today it is maybe $4,000. Therefore, I'm guessing that by next year it will reach $8,000, and therefore I'm going to put in maybe $100 or $200 so that I can hold it, and by next year when it has spiked, I can sell.
In
the short term, Elon Musk can tweet something and then the value is going to come down.
People have gone suicidal over the amount of money they invest in Bitcoin. And then
I think there's this funny Nigerian musician who said he has got out of cryptocurrency because he invested $1,000 and after like 3 days, the money was $50. So it's extremely high risk, it's extremely volatile. So you can probably just, you know, treat it as like a bet or as a fund that you are putting money you can afford to lose in the short term. But don't go, you know, switching from data bank to cryptocurrency, otherwise it will end in tears.
So aside using Binance, I've also tried Coinbase and CoinSmart. But okay. I think
I wanted to use Coinbase because, like you were saying, it is not as overwhelming and as complex as
it's Binance. Not as overwhelming.
But I realized I needed to go through an intermediary like Payplex.
Yeah, which is not like that in Binance. In Binance, there are so many options you can buy and sell via mobile money, cheaper cash, whatnot. Like it's just too much. I don't think there's anything you're looking for you'll not find on Binance.
Yeah.
And also the fact that Binance has their own cryptocurrency called Binance Coin, which is also part of the top 10 cryptocurrencies in demand at the moment. So it makes it the A1 choice for me. Now, aside a cryptocurrency exchange, you can also have a cryptocurrency wallet.
Yeah.
So in the wallet, you cannot buy or sell. You can only send and receive, just like you have your mobile money wallet. Yeah, you can deposit, you can cash out. So that's how the wallet works. So the wallet comes with an address on the blockchain. That is a cryptocurrency address. And if I want to sell, I want to send Kwamina some cryptocurrency, all I need is Kwamina's Bitcoin. If I want to send him some Bitcoin, all I need is his Bitcoin wallet address. So if you have an app like, let's say, Trust Wallet, which is one of the most popular ones I've seen around. There are so many apps on the Play Store, but I use Trust Wallet, for example. I want to send some money to Kwamina via Trust Wallet. I just get to know what Kwamina's Bitcoin address is. I go to my Trust Wallet and I input that address and send whatever amount in dollars, equivalent in dollars, I want to send him, and then it gets to him. So this will be verified on the blockchain by Bitcoin miners, and then once the transaction goes through, that is it.
I see. So how do you get Bitcoin wallets? Because these apps that we have mentioned don't give you that.
The what? Binance is essentially a wallet and a trading app all in one.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
So you can keep your cryptocurrencies in Binance, and that's fine. You can also keep your cryptocurrencies in Trust Wallet, but Trust Wallet is just a wallet. That is it. You can use it to send and receive on another blockchain network. So it's not as complicated as Binance. It's just pretty much straightforward. Like you have an app for your mobile money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now let's talk about what drives the value of cryptocurrency.
I think for driving the value of cryptocurrency, it is just hype. Money is worthless until some hype has been made about it.
For people to bet that, okay, yeah, you know what, let me just put some money into this and hopefully cash out later.
Yeah, I'm even talking about physical money. Physical money is actually even worthless until some hype or some has been, or a group of people have come into agreement.
Yeah.
So
I think the dollar used to be backed by gold, but now it's not backed by anything.
Yeah, it's not backed by anything.
The dollar is a dollar because we say it's the dollar.
Because we say it's the dollar, yes. That is the status at which it has attained. And right now, the dollar is being, because it's the dollar, every other currency kowtows to it in a certain sense. you understand me? So it has its own intrinsic value now. Now, for most cryptocurrencies, they start without any value at all. It takes a group of people, mass adoption, traction, hype, mostly. And also, when influential people jump on a cryptocurrency, it suddenly gains value because people begin to think that, okay, now, so now this thing has gained acceptance. So I think the one word which drives up the price of a cryptocurrency is acceptance. Because as at the time, Bitcoin, the first Bitcoin was mined, was almost worthless.
Yeah.
And just as, and it's almost the same case with a lot of cryptocurrencies being mined today. They're almost worthless now. But as soon as they gain acceptance, that is it. Earlier on, we mentioned
Dogecoin. An example could be Dogecoin,
yeah,
right?
We mentioned Dogecoin.
Sorry, so Tesla used to accept Bitcoin as currency for people who want to buy Teslas. About 2 days ago, Elon tweeted that, you know what, they are suspending vehicle purchases using Bitcoin because of concerns with the rapid increase of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining, and decided that, you know, he is considering switching to Doge.
The Doge.
Yes.
And that was it.
Now, after he said that, he also tweeted that he's working with the Doge developers to improve system transaction efficiency. And once he tweeted that, in about 5 minutes, the market cap of Dogecoin had spiked by $10 billion.
Way too much influence.
No one man should have all that one power.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So just hype. So it's basically just hype. Okay, so maybe just to wrap up this segment, we will definitely have to delve in deeper next week. Do you think it's worth considering this, like crypto mining, crypto trading, crypto holding? Is it something that anybody should be interested in?
Yeah, to me, it's the future. As I said, we are beginning to see mass adoption of coins, as like Bitcoin, for example, has been adopted by PayPal. You can now buy and sell Bitcoin in PayPal. You can. A lot of other companies are accepting payments in Bitcoin. Musicians, artists, and professionals in various fields of discipline are beginning to accept payments in cryptocurrencies. The bad side or the funny thing about it is that people who are involved in shady businesses, hitmen, drug lords,
and money laundering,
hackers and all that, they all accept payments in cryptocurrencies. And this is for one good reason, because cryptocurrencies can usually not be traced.
Right.
Yes. The transaction is carried out on the system. Send, receive, that is it. Once it's verified by the miner, you cannot trace it back to the original sender. Do you understand? So that is one aspect of it, which makes it also, it makes it a secure payment system.
But yeah, at the same anonymous time. Anonymous, secure.
Yeah, because it's anonymous, a lot of people in shady lines of work have adopted it as a means of payment. So it is the future. It's gradually being adopted by so many people. And once that acceptance gains worldwide, I think it's on its way to becoming a truly global payment system, as I said, which could usher in the end times. But hey, that's just up for debate, so.
Yeah, I guess. All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We discussed what blockchain is, what crypto is. We spoke about trading and mining. And then we also gave some examples of some applications that you can use if you want to just, you know, try your hands on it. We've also spoken about the influences and what drives Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general. So this is just an introduction. Next week, we will actually try and delve deeper into certain tangents of this particular field so that we can give you like actionable insights and, you know, step-by-step guidance, just in case it's something that's interests you.
I think we have to touch on NFTs as
definitely,
well.
Definitely. 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 So until next week, hold on to your horses. We will conclude this.
All right. Peace out.
Peace. It be like, say, everybody, they want money. They want money. It be like, say, everybody, they search money.
money.